Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you, and it's kind of a reunion of old friends. I'm welcoming back, first of all, Lori.
Hello.
Wait a minute. Is it three?
It's been a little while.
There we go. You're
but
on
I'm
three.
I'm back, like a bad rash.
It's been a while since you've been here, but it's good to have you back,
thank you, as always.
And thank you again for putting this all together. My other guest that's been here before is Freebo. It's really great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be back.
And this is the last time you played guitar. We went through a lot of guitars and your solo album.
Mm-hmm.
If not now, when, if I'm correct.
Yep.
But now you're working on it. You just finished a new project with our next guest I'm going to introduce, Alice Howe. Alice, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Great to be here.
And wearing another hat. I mean, you had produced your own album, but now what I want to talk about tonight is both of you guys working together, working with another artist, realizing what she wants to put out song-wise. She's a singer-songwriter, guitar player, which is another aspect of it because she plays guitar and plays very well, by the way.
Thank you.
And so what I want to do is just take it from concept to execution, so to speak. So how did you guys meet and how did this album start and either one start?
Well, so I'm originally from Boston and I had moved back to the Boston area. I had been living on the West Coast, actually, in Seattle. Came back to Boston, decided I was going to start taking my career to the next level, I guess. And in order to do that, I decided to go to this conference called Folk Alliance, which is a national organization that has regional conferences. This one was in Connecticut. And it's called NERFA. It's the Northeast regional branch of it. And Freebo was there. He'd been attending for years. So I was kind of new into the folk world, was there with my EP that I had just put out a couple years ago. And I was looking to just kind of get it out there and see what I could see. I didn't know anybody and met Freebo there at that conference. And then we actually met again the following February at the Folk Alliance conference in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he heard me again, heard my EP, and you know, just suggested, hey, why don't you come out to California to try working in the studio with me as producer the next time you're ready to record? And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Who's Freebo and what does a producer
Yeah, I was
do?
Like, who is this guy? So I actually went home and looked at the back of my mom's Bonnie Raitt records and I was like, yep, there he is. He's the real deal. So I called him. I said, you know, I'd love to do this. So I actually flew out to LA. Freebo picked me up. We went to the studio in Bakersfield and take it from there.
Well, I mean, what I heard was a beautiful voice, which you all will hear during the show, in very much in a folk genre. But I heard other stuff, and I felt that, and not to disparage anything that Alice was doing, but I felt, having worked with a lot of singers, particularly women singers like Bonnie and Maria Muldaur and Nicolette Larson, that that I had some ideas on how I could expand what she's doing. And in short, that's basically what we did on this record. And we did it together. We did it song by song. We did it piece by piece. One day she was just, as we were doing some pre-production, she was just singing some blues. And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Oh, it's a Muddy Waters song." I said, "You like Muddy Waters?" She said, "I love Muddy Waters. I grew up with that stuff." So that led us to doing a Muddy Waters song, because I love the way she sings the blues. And what I really love about the way Alice sings is she never oversings. So she has her licks, but she sticks with the melody. She never, there's no ego in her singing.
It's right.
It's all about the song and presenting that song, which is what I love about Bonnie Raitt. And so I'm not trying to say that she's the next Bonnie Raitt, but I think Alice is equally as good as Bonnie, with gifted with a beautiful instrument. And for me, it's up to frame that instrument and shape the music.
Yeah, no, that's, I've seen that.
Thanks, Reba. With wow.
Well, with a lot of upcoming newer singers, they emulate somebody that they really believe in, and they try to sound too much like them instead of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that I agree with you. You do have your own sound to it, and it's good. And really, what's interesting about this album, and I'm gonna, it's called Visions. And here it is, right here, is you do take her some different places. There's a lot of variety in terms of the arrangements and what you're doing, styles. Mm-hmm. So
we did a lot of exploring, and it was really interesting.
It really evolved. Yeah. Organically, you know, and you had asked about like the concept, and honestly there was no concept at all. And like Freebo had heard my EP, which, as he said, was very stripped down. It was just me and my acoustic guitar, and actually an accompanist, Jeff Fielder, who ended up playing on several tracks on the new record as well. But it was a really folk arrangement, you know. And what was so exciting is that for the first time I could work with somebody who had all the tools that I had never had before. Right. So it was like, oh, wait, we can do a Muddy Waters cut. And I actually didn't even play on that song. I just sang. So for the first time, there's a band backing me, which was just all totally new. I'd never played with, you know, a full band in that way before.
I remember when that happened at Bogey's. What was it, last year or the year before?
Oh, yeah.
I've never had a band before.
That was her first time.
It's
on
been
stage
transformative. I just like, and Freebo and I.
And
like,
what a band it is.
Oh, they're incredible. I mean, like the day that the band was in the studio for the first time, like I had literally never heard my songs with, I mean, a band, let alone musicians of that caliber. So I just remember like, it was difficult to sing because I was smiling so much. And then like after a couple takes, they were all like, all right, you know, Alice, like, let's do one more. And you stopped me and you were like, okay, now you know the notes. Now just really get into the emotion of the song. And so I did one more take, and everybody was like, oh my God.
What happened?
Jeff? Like, it happened.
At that point, she went to another level.
It was,
and she has not come down since.
That's true.
It was really gratifying.
Makes me so happy even talking about
it. Did you write new songs specifically for this album, or were there other songs that you had written?
I'm always writing. Like, I'm always working on a song, I would say. I wasn't writing specifically for the album, but I had just finished a project, so it was kind of time for new material anyway. So when I began working with Freebo, he actually introduced me to the partial capo, which was kind of an important piece. I had been doing a lot of the same stuff over and over, which I'm sure many guitar players can relate to. And so this kind of opened it up as far as like the sound and the voicings. And then I began writing, actually the song Twilight was the first tune that I started writing. And that led to our co-writing that song and several others. 4 out of the 5 originals on the record are co-writes. So I would start
it. You were working back and forth.
Kind of, every song was really like that. It was sort of it was like, hey, how about this idea? Oh, let me help you put it together. Like, I would write a lot of the words, and then we would work on the melody and the chords together.
And to Alice's credit, she had never co-written before. And like all of us who at some point, you know, we write our songs and we hold them very, very close, and they're very precious. And at first I
no, said, you can't hear it. It's not
I
done.
I had some idea. No, you can't. No, I don't like to co-write. And so I just kind of kept very slowly pushing very gently and saying, well, I've got some ideas that might make it a little, I didn't want to say better, but a little different. And bit by bit, Alice, again, to her credit, became open to that, and a lot of these songs turned into that. And it takes a little bit.
You got to earn the trust.
Totally.
It is trust. Yeah. It really is.
And then it got to the point where I was like, hey, I have this idea. Like, you know, first call I make is like, what do you think?
And now I'm coming up with songs that I have. Say, hey, Alice, you want to help me with these lyrics?
So yeah, that's very, very cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. Before we play something, let's review a little bit this partial capo, which you had talked about on our original
we
show.
Should we should have Freebo explain it. But,
but she has it set up right now on her guitar, a very beautiful Martin.
Thank you. This is my custom shop Martin. It's kind of like an OM21, but it's a little different. It's got an Engelmann spruce top. And yeah, I like the Shub. Freebo uses the Kaiser. I mean, they do the same thing. So, yeah.
But just show us what your tuning is so they understand.
Yeah. So
nothing is retuned. It's in standard tuning.
Right. So she's using,
I'm just using the regular capo the same
capo
way
three.
You use a... You can put that wherever you want. Right. But then the relationship is two above or four above, depending if you want to come out of a C or a G shape.
Or a D.
Okay.
Or a D.
But so in this case, I'm coming out of a G, right? So...
So if just play the each string without any fingering, so you hear what it is.
We should actually put you in a fake dad get.
Yeah.
D A D G A D. Except it's up 4 frets.
Okay.
But it puts you into that shape, so it actually puts you in a combination of dad gad, drop D, and double drop D, all at the same time in first position.
Whoa.
Without having retuned anything. And when you go up the neck past first position, you can play all the leads and any of the normal bar chords because you haven't retuned anything. So in first position, everything becomes
Just play a little bit what you're doing right there because it just sounds beautiful.
And you can actually go behind it.
Oh, that's right, because she has the...
It's open at
the A and the
string.
D and the G string are capoed on the half capo.
It covers the third, fourth, and fifth strings.
Right.
So it leaves the first, second, and sixth strings open, and that's the magic, particularly leaving the bottom string open.
Shapes, you can, I would say, explore a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of new sounds.
Yeah. Which for me, like having, you know, when you just hear the same chords over and over as a songwriter, you kind of start writing the same melodies over and over. That's what I found. So it was like an infusion of new sounds.
No, it sounds beautiful, and that, especially on that guitar.
Which is really how Twilight started. I showed her a particular little progression on this out of the G going up, and then Alice one day came back with the beginning of Twilight. Started a nice little interlude, and that gave her. She just flew that, and that gave her idea for melody and for the song, and that's the way it works. It, I mean, again, Joni Mitchell being the archetypical tuning queen,
goddess.
Yes, yeah. Well, she actually she was doing all the different slack key tunings.
So we just had Kiki Epson do the Joni Mitchell tribute over at Bogies, which Terry Wallman got that assignment. He had like a whole wall full of retuned and.
Oh, I'm
different
surprised
tune,
you didn't have
guitars,
somebody,
amazing job he did.
Like I'm surprised you didn't have somebody like Mark Mann because that VG system, he can program all those tunings. Just hits a button.
Yeah,
and
he
it
just
changes.
Has all his guitars, and oh, it was beautiful.
That's a lot. Yeah,
great
she
show.
Used to use a lot of guitars, and she had an anvil case for her Steinway Grand.
Oh my God!
Wow. Back in the day, you don't see that.
That's
they don't
awesome.
Ship those anymore. But back in the day, true rock and roll. But let me go ahead. I'm going to play Twilight a little later, or I'll play it after this song, but I want to just play this What We Got Is Gold, and it's you finger picking and singing, and you come in on the fretless, and it's just tasty the way you come in and how you phrase around her and just kind of get an idea of the folk influence, and then we're going to talk a little bit about your playing and what you know your influences and stuff. So here is What We Got Is Gold.
it is louder than it's been before. I hear it knocking on my walls and doors, saying soon enough it's time to go. But these precious hours, I keep you close. Of all the nights in recent memory, there were so many you were far from me, and I just hurt my heart keeping lonely time, wishing yours was there to echo mine. If the papers would all print old news, they'd say I'm still in love with you. Let the years go by, it remains the same. What we've got is gold, and what it's worth won't change. Well, I fear I turned you upside.
I didn't get the whole rhythm section, but you could. But what I wanted to show on that song was the interplay between you two, which in itself,
thanks.
That shows the magic, I think, of the album is just how, because you know where each person's going.
Mm. Thank you.
But I want to talk also too. This was a good example of your style of playing and in how it's incorporated in with your songwriting. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your background, your influences, and how you got into this.
Well, I was really lucky to be raised by parents who loved music and listened to a lot of folk, blues, rock, classical music. There was just a great variety. We had a big record collection and there was always something playing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I loved Joan Baez when I was little. I would listen to her ballads and I would just like sit in front of the record player and visualize all the stories. That was really like one of my favorite things. And I would memorize all the words and like really picture it. It was like fairy tales, you know, folk songs, I think, mm-hmm. are like that. But I loved, actually, it's funny, like a lot of the people that Freebo's played with and has known throughout his career are, you know, Jackson Brown and Bonnie Raitt and Taj Mahal. You know, those are some of my favorites. I love Joni Mitchell. So, you know, to me, like a really beautiful, pure, real singer, and I think, you know, kind of that simple, beautiful folk guitar really drew me, you know, from a young age. I was never really interested in music of my own generation.
Mm-hmm,
I remember my neighbor being like, do you like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC better? And I was like,
the who?
I was like, I like Tracy Chapman. And she was like, what? So I was not exactly like popular realm, you know, growing up, but in my own family.
You have an old soul, girl.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, I feel like really that was my family, my upbringing.
Well, guitar wise, was it Joan Baez, a lot of these people, Joni were all great guitar players.
Very much like I would say Joan Baez, and also like I loved Mississippi John Hurt. I had a guitar teacher for years, like from when I was 12 to 16, and he would make me learn, you know, Mississippi John Hurt tunes and stuff. And I'd always be like, I just want to sing. And he'd be like, no, you must learn, you know, how to play these particular songs as a way to, you know, get the thumb down. And I managed to figure out my own way of, you know, incorporating that into my writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been writing from, I'd say from the time that I began learning guitar, I was mm-hmm. also trying to compose my own stuff on it. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's because the people that you're talking about in terms of guitar playing too are just amazing. But it's tasty. It's not really flashy,
mm-hmm.
but it's just right where it's supposed
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, and rhythmic and
yeah, it moves it along and it gives you it. I mean, just that song there, just that part before the band comes in, it's pretty full. I mean, the guitar just is what you need to move the lyric over. And then, of course, you playing the cool stuff on the bass. Was this the bass you used on it?
Yes, yes, exactly.
It's a great sounding bass.
Oh, the tone of that bass is so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, and what's really cool for me is that over 40 years ago when I first started playing with Bonnie Raitt, we were a duo for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I learned how to play bass, not with a band with a drummer, but with a guitar player and a singer. So I figured out how to play around the melody, around the lyrics, around the chords,
right.
how to support the chords, how to play in between. And so it actually, it turns out that I didn't even realize until people started complimenting me recently on playing with Alice that I apparently do something that not a whole lot of other bass players do because it's my background. And now I get to do it 40 years later, further up the spiral with Alice, so I can kind of take what I figured out back then, and now I can
come in
do
full
it,
circle.
Full circle, but further up the spiral.
Yeah.
and be able to take, especially that now that I'm a songwriter, now I can get even further inside the song. And so when we play as a duo, which we do a lot, there's a lot of interplay. So really the record is almost like the duo thing, but augmented with the band. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Well, one of the things I think I hear in your playing is most bass players are just trying to keep the harmonic structure moving along. They're, you know, it's a lot of root, fifth, just to keep it solid. But besides that, and you do that. You do hit the you hit the root when you need to.
Right.
But you comp, and most bass players don't know how to comp. That's more like a keyboard guitar thing. So,
thank you.
And then also too, from your songwriting, you have the melodic part of it. So there's little melodic things you throw in there.
Well, that's
too.
A big part of the style, I think, because you can stand alone as a duo, which you did. I mean, you toured as a duo, so and that works, you know, more than just like two guitar players, you know, strumming along, you know.
Oh, it's really special.
That's really different texture.
But a lot of guys don't do that. That's what I'm saying. That's a unique thing. And I mean, that it really, I mean, I've in playing bass as a session in sessions and stuff, you don't have that. You don't. That's very rare. I've never heard that. Whether playing in a session as a guitarist or playing bass, it's not. But that's what's very cool. And you're going to hear that. Actually, I'm going to play this clip now, Twilight, which we were just talking about.
The one she doesn't want to play live today.
She did the music video. So anyway, so this was a collaboration, or did you bring this in and it was going back and forth?
She started and brought it.
She started it.
Yeah.
I started it. Yeah, I kind of started it the way I so often begin writing, like really comfortable place for me is to just be alone, which is actually what this song is about, is being alone with my guitar, you know, outside oftentimes, like taking a walk or something. Not walking and playing at the same time. That would be difficult.
This just had a capo along the way,
yeah,
too. Huh?
Right. And, you know, just singing to myself and improvising, and that's where I came up with the initial, like, structure and a lot of the words, and then I brought it to Freebo and said, hey, can we make this better? It was probably, like, twice as long and, you know, half as catchy.
I'm a good editor.
He's a very good editor.
And came up with the bridge. But it really was really came from Allison. And the lyrics, particularly in the center of the song.
Right. Now, I'm going to mention real quick that all of these songs, they're songs, and she sings, and there's a lot.
Great.
Now,
lyrics.
I'm cutting in, and you got to remember, I'm chopping little pieces, so I'm pulling out the guitar parts. So.
All the more reason to get the CD after Friday.
I was going to say, it comes out on Friday, and actually, if folks use Spotify, you can go on there and pre-save it now if you go to my website, which is alicehowe.com.
That's easy. H-O-W-E?
Yes. My name has two silent E's. Freebo informed me of that.
No relation to
Howe.
Steve Howe. I'm just kidding.
No. But yeah, you can actually go to my website. And you can pre-save it on Spotify.
Okay, well, here, let's take a listen to this, and then we'll talk, because there's some other interesting ear candy in this song. So here's Twilight.
Twilight. My lover is steady, and he tells me be still, and take a deep breath, he's hoping I will, but my mind keeps on racing. I'm far out of sight, at the end of the road, on the threshold of night. And there's nothing like being at twilight. Well, the sun's gone down and the twilight is past, and that magic hour, it never lasts.
Now that's more than just guitar and bass. That's, no, and on when you listen, if you listen to the in the archives, when you listen to it, on the left side is another person that's been on the show. Fuzzbee is on this, is playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Great mm-hmm. player, anyway. Yeah. But and then Jeff is playing. Jeff Fielder's playing, mm-hmm. and he's using a slide. Right, he's just playing a slide guitar. He's not playing a. It sounds like pedal steel.
Yeah, he's playing a Tele with a slide, and Fuzzbee's playing a Strat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a great, great.
Yeah,
the way they play against each other, and of course, and then there's you're kind of comping in and out a little bit with the
And then there's J.T. Thomas on keyboards, who's mm-hmm. a just wonderful keyboard
the best,
player.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah,
the electric piano.
Yeah, J.T. has played with Bruce Hornsby for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, when Bruce introduces the band, he says, "And now I'd like to introduce the best keyboard player in the band, J.T. Thomas."
Which he plays with Rita Coolidge, too.
Yeah, and Albert Lee.
And Albert Lee, yep. Of course.
Yes. Yep. Oh, I love his solo. His solo stuff is great. He's a great player. A nice guy, too. So, but anyway, the interesting how that was. Now, from when you do this live, let's talk a little bit about this. How do you realize this lot? You're going to have just one guitar, electric guitar player, right? For the well, let's talk real quick and mention
yeah.
the gig.
Sure. So, I have my little postcard here.
All right.
So the CD is actually coming out on Friday, and in celebration, there's going to be a CD release concert together with kind of a two-part event here at McCabe's on May 18th, Saturday, May 18th. At
this
McCabe's.
Coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday That's in right. Santa Monica. And it's a two-part event where Freebo is going to take the first half and play with the band, his fabulous friends, and some of those guys we mentioned are in it.
Then I'm going to borrow the band.
Yeah. And
yes.
Freebo.
Yes.
Well, and I borrow Alice for a lot of this.
Yeah, singing some harmonies. Yeah, so it's very collaborative.
It'll be a whole family thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be great.
And then we're going to reprise the record for Alice yeah. for the second set. So, yeah. Exciting. Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful. The album is so gorgeous. And
thanks, Lori.
I've heard many of these tracks live with the band because.
Yeah.
Because I live here. So.
That'll be great.
Well, let me play some other clips to kind of show the diversity. First of all, I'm going to play. We had talked about the Muddy Waters, Honey Bee. So I'm going to play this. Again,
right.
I'm focusing on the guitar part, so you're going to hear the guitar lead. I think this is Jeff.
No, it's
this
just
is
Fuzzbee.
Actually Fuzzbee.
This is Fuzzbee on this
There's
one.
Jeff's not on this
And what's
actually.
Really beautiful about this, Jeff, this everything you hear in this is live. It's all happened at the same time. No overdubs.
Ah.
This particular track, yeah.
And for me as a producer... We were talking about this before the show. One of the things that I try and do, but really try and preach, is everybody listen. If everybody listens to everybody else, you'll enjoy somebody else's fill as much as your own. And so everybody is really listening, including the singer, and the interplay on this tune is absolutely fabulous, and it's exactly the way
right.
it went down.
Well, there's the case in point for... the lack of ego in playing in
right.
the band, because mm-hmm. that way it's like as a guitar player, you know, let's just go full out and shred. No. And you listen and you put in what you need to put in.
Yeah. It's not that kind of music either. I mean, it requires listening.
Well,
like,
but it's mature players too.
Yeah.
Mature players.
I mean, I know I played a lot more when I was younger. I listen to some of the stuff. I go, I wouldn't play as much now.
Well, it is funny because
less is more, right?
when we first were working together on the record, and Freebo was telling me that these guys were going to come in and play, I didn't know any of them, had never met any of them before.
Who are these guys?
And I was like, who are they? Are they going to like me? Like, am I going to like them? What if they? I don't know. Who are they? And I sort of was like panicking the night before, and Freebo was like, look. like, do you like the way I play? I was like, yeah.
Well, actually, I said, well, there are a bunch of old guys. I said, well, old guys? And she started crying. I said, that's when I said, do you like the way I play? She said, well, yeah. I said, well, they're old guys like me, and they play, they listen. I said, I think you're really going to like. And then she said,
great.
Well, are they going to like me? I said, Alice, they're going to love you. And they did.
Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's what you're saying is that about that maturity is important because the other night I saw Tim Pierce play at the Baked Potato. It wasn't as much what he played. And I think this applies to you a lot. It's not as much what you were playing a lot of the times. It's also what you don't,
you
play.
Don't play.
Yeah. Yeah. Less is more.
The space that you give. And I think that that's a key. Anyway, let me go ahead and play. You got to hear this. This is a great clip.
All right, honeybee. Little honeybee.
You can hear the interplay. I mean, Fuzzbee's a monster.
Ridiculous.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But with him and JT.
Yeah.
And there's like a little, they kind of played against each other. For a minute, I thought it was another guitar on the right side. It was
it's the honeybees.
Yeah. They're buzzing around each other.
They're buzzing around.
No, they have great ears. And again, it's all about listening. And I like to say that, you know, if you want to know what to play, listen to the other players.
Right.
And you'll intuitively, if you know your instrument, you'll intuitively know what to play because you'll know when not to play because somebody else is taking a fill. So lay out. And if you're really listening, you're going to respect the other player. You're going to want to hear his fill. Even though you might want to play one yourself, just like a conversation, it goes back and forth. So you can't take up all the space.
I learned that as a singer, too. I mean, in that song especially, like, I did things that I didn't know I was doing. Like, I left space for them also and didn't even realize it till after. And I remember listening to the track after and being like, oh, my God, like, did you plan that? No. I was like, no, it's just,
you just
no,
feel
it's
it.
Really cool. Yeah, you just feel it
no,
if you,
you
listen.
Did. You were listening so well. You did. You were leaving space and you said, oh, time for me to get. Oh, it's really beautiful. I love it. Great.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it's real open. There's not a lot, it's full, but there's not a lot of, you know, it's not like walls of overdubs and stuff like that. It's it's what
it's
it needs
full,
to
but
be.
It's not crowded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, so, I like that.
Yeah.
good one. Now, I'm going to, because we're getting almost over halfway, so I want to get I want to show just how versatile this album is and how diverse it is. I'm going to play another one. This is kind of fun because this has a little more orchestration in it. And I think part of what you were saying, too, about listening to other people as an arranger, if you arrange your own music and stuff, that's what you're doing anyway. You're listening to all the parts and figuring out what goes where. And I think this is another good one because this has brass in it. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole brass section in here.
Is this Getaway Car?
Getaway Car. So.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Getaway Car, because this was a true co-write where this actually started. Alice had a song called Getaway Car that she played for me that really had Getaway Car in it just one time. And I thought, well, this really isn't about a getaway car. And we kind of went from there. I said, well, why don't we write a song about a getaway car? Let's invent a getaway car and let's come up with this situation.
Let's start over with that as the title.
And so we said, let's get really crazy with this. And so we just sat and we riffed back and forth and we came up with the lyric.
Well, as the inspiration, partly Bonnie's song, Blender Blues.
Bonnie had a song that she never recorded. It's on a bootleg record. It's called Let Me Be Your Blender Baby. I Can Whip, Chop, and Puree. And
it goes on. It's ridiculous.
A whole bunch of sexual entendres.
It's hilarious.
So we said, well, let's do that with the getaway car, and we'll invent this whole scenario. And so
we were just sitting there being like, oh, wait, what if it's this? Oh, no, how about this?
Yeah, we had a blast.
Okay, and this features Lee Thornburg doing the horn arrangement, trumpet, trombone, Paul Perez, tenor and baritone saxophones, and Fuzzbee's on guitar. You're going to hear the lead. And JT is playing the Hammond.
He made some great, great Hammond stuff in it. And John Hammond Molo player. On the drum. John Molo played on all of the early Bruce Hornsby and Arrange songs.
Oh, okay.
He was in that band. He and JT were in together. So Molo's a wonderful drummer.
Yes, great tone, great sound on this record, too. He's doing his gets great. Here's Getaway Car. Take a listen. This is really cool.
Well, there's no destination. It's all about the ride. Whatever you need, you know I'll provide. Keep an eye on the road and keep the other eye on me. Well, get away. My getaway car, my getaway car. Ooh, I got a full tank of gas. Won't you come on inside? Are you ready to
perfect.
I had to put that in.
I'm actually so glad you did the end.
That's the coolest. You can tell they're having a lot of fun on that cut. That was just great. I had
to let go of my inhibitions for that one.
That was cool. That's very. I mean, Fuzzy's awesome, and that brass just was just spot on.
Lee played in the Tower Power and Jack Mack and the Heart Attack, and now he's the horn arranger with Joe Bonamassa. It's a big band. So, Lee's wonderful.
And I just want to say also, so much of this great sound has to do with our engineer, Brian.
Yes, exactly.
And Brian Boozer. And his studio is called Om Studios in Bakersfield, California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just the most wonderful engineer I could ever have imagined working with. Owns his own studio, a young guy that Freebo had met through like a songwriting retreat that you had done. Mm-hmm. It was like people are asking me like, oh, why'd you record in Bakersfield? I'm like, because it's the best studio, period.
Yeah, we love it.
I don't want to work anywhere else.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So it says on here on the album, besides recording, you did all the main tracks over at Om Studios.
Mm-hmm.
But it mentions that these guys also recorded at their studios, like JT.
Yes.
Well, JT just did.
His B3
He did the B3 on that tune. He overdubbed it there. And Jeff Fielder
recorded in Seattle, did a few things at his home. And then we also had Michael Stern record Fuzzbee's guitar solo for Lovin' in My Baby's Eyes.
But apart from that, everything was at
Was that at Rock Cellar?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rock Cellar.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rock Cellar's.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yep.
Now, I want to play another clip that's totally different than all of that stuff, and I really love it. This is it's called You Just Never Know.
Yeah.
And there's dobro and mandolin on here. I'm looking it up here. On dobro. God, that dobro sounds,
isn't it beautiful,
killer.
that's what, when I first met Jeff Fielder, who's a friend of mine from Seattle, it was because of his dobro playing that I wanted him to play on my EP. So I was like, just, I just love it. It's, and I said, Freebo, we got to get some Dobro yeah. on there.
Was that hard to mic? Did you do, did that?
No,
was that
he an, actually no, he did it at himself. His home.
So he did over there. Yeah. Sent it to now, us. So an overdub.
And the mandolin on there, there's a guy named Brian Bowers, who's a world renowned auto harp player. And we ran into Brian at one of the folk alliances, and he had a 3-piece band himself and these two guys, one of whom is Jeff Goodhue.
Yeah.
And we got him on the mandolin, beautiful mandolin player. So yeah. this turned into a whole different type of acoustic arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what he played live on the track? Or what,
yes.
The, what, yeah. what do you remember what mandolin? Was it a Gibson?
I think it was a Gibson, yeah.
God, it sounds, it just sounds, that sounds really, right really, though.
Yeah.
It really just sounds, it's amazing, the tone of that mandolin.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. I'm trying to see my eyes.
Which again is tribute to Brian Boozer, the engineer, yeah. because you can, I mean, if you don't mic something right and use the right chain and use too much compression or, you know, over EQ it, can't. So it so much has to do with the way it's recorded.
Right. And there's a lot of dynamics to it. It's not, it doesn't sound very compressed.
No. Exactly.
And
exactly.
especially mandolin and even the Dobro. The Dobro has a spike in it part of it, I think, is just playing. Is yes. just that it's just smooth, mm-hmm. but it can jump. It can make the needles jump.
Mm-hmm.
But the mandolin just sounds really just. It, the whole album is just really present. It just sounds really present.
Thank you.
Here we go. This is the one. You just never know. Check this out. This is some great playing.
Taking my time, driven blinded by love and by the tears in my eyes, broken down on the shoulder with no place to go, and I breezed through the night as I made my way home.
Such tasty playing. I mean, just as I call it, ear candy.
You doing all the backgrounds, you guys?
Actually, it's the two of us and also my older brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother came out.
You guys
out.
Blend well.
I
really
can hear
well.
Your voices, like, because I know your voices so.
I
recognized you. Yeah, and Augie, my brother, has, you know, the male version of my voice. That goes in really nice.
That's cool.
But you can get that's just another whole thing. I mean, another color in the album. It's just totally different. Arrangement
yeah. Yeah.
and just a great feel to it. I mean,
you.
your singing and your songwriting is consistent throughout, but it's like you just take her into all these different places, and it's
well, that
really
was
cool.
What was so. Thank you for saying that, because that's really what I love about the album, and that's what inspired the title too. Like the word "visions," it's not any of the song titles, but it to me it represents that. It's a lot of different sides of me and a lot of different like angles, I guess, or perspectives on me. And that just felt like the word to capture that.
Well, yes. Also the way you write visually, you often start off a song. I know a dirt road in the late afternoon. How does Still in My Mind start?
They're very picturesque.
Yeah.
The rain lyrics. Falling across the water.
Yeah. She starts, she paints a picture with her lyrics and then, you know, we augment
yes.
with the music.
Now I'm not doing justice to the lyrics because I'm playing most of the
it's
guitar
okay.
parts.
This is all about guitar. It's
but
right.
the thing is, the lyrics are really good, and I mean the songs are just stellar songs. I mean, I really love the album, and when you listen through it, through all of the different pieces, there's just cool little things that are happening, or as Freebo calls them, moments. They're just cool little moments. And it's throughout the album. If you want to hear Tasty playing and how to tastily accompany somebody or build a song or make a song support the lyric and stuff, I think this is a good example of that. What you're doing instrumental-wise does move the lyric forward. Both of you guys. It's not just what you're doing and the rest of the players. It really works to add to the story that you're telling.
Thank you. You know, and that's something, again, as a producer, as a musician, that I love to do. And you don't hear that in today's music, particularly in commercial music. But it starts with a song, and then it starts about how you frame that song, frame the vocal. And I think a lot of it has to do, again, it's the interplay of the instruments. And there are those moments. And ultimately, when you record it, you mix it that way, too. I mean, I got my early ideas for it by listening to Beatles records. You listen to a Beatles record, there's always something interesting happening. Could be a drum fill, could be a bass thing, could be a guitar thing. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting is when you hear that drum fill, all of a sudden you don't hear the bass. So it's not just that's brought up, it's that something else is brought down. So there's always something happening. It's a dynamic mix. And there's each instrument has its moments,
you have these
personalities.
You guide them.
But never getting in the way of the vocal.
Well, and I should say, Freebo mixed these songs like for days and days. Like, I was like, are we done yet? Nope.
not quite.
So I'd be like, when are we going to be done? We'll know when it's time.
It's
I was like, okay.
Sensei has spoken.
I was like, I'll just take a nap.
Not to be autocratic, but it's done when it's done. And,
no, it's,
and you can tell. And I feel very proud about it. And I respect you that you respected me as it went on, you started doing the same thing. Freebo, could we bring that up
I know.
Just a little?
I know. Then I got into it. And I was like, it's like one half a dB.
Yeah. Like, and those little half dBs are important.
Mm-hmm. But even an album that has not a lot of overdubs, that's not easy to create that space. It takes a lot to do that. It's a craft. It's
labor
an art
of love.
To do.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
And that space that you create between our two ears,
right,
that's not easy to do. So I totally get that, because it's very, you hear everything. Now, you were saying with the bass and then something else comes in, what you're doing is you're directing people, like, look here.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things...
And that,
exactly,
you know, that's
right
there.
Yeah, that's the art of it. Yeah.
And I think it's really, especially, again, my job as producer is to frame Alice. So the record is about Alice. It's not about Fusby and JT and Molo and me. It's about Alice. But I find often a way to do that, let's start it off with Alice. Here's Alice Howe. Here's her vocal and her guitar. And bit by bit, you bring different things in, and you build it up and then break it down and you just kind of weave it. But it's always about Alice. That's what it should be. It should be about the artist. It's just a question of how you orchestrate it. And, you know, it's like a painting.
It is.
You know, where do you put the colors? Where do you not put the colors?
And it's her and also the song. Both of you guys.
Oh, it starts with a good song.
Yeah.
It has to start.
But I mean, that's half of who you are, is the storytelling part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Besides the singing and the playing.
Yeah.
So you got three things, you know.
Right.
And I'm prejudiced. I like the playing a lot. So you're singing everything else.
I'm glad I could live up to the all about guitar. I mean, good. I'm glad.
No, it's not a matter of, and you know this, it's not a matter of flurry of notes. It's a matter of what you play and where you put it.
Mm-hmm.
And the taste that you put in the song, that to me is critical. That's the part that makes you the artist, is because you know what to do. He knows what to do. He puts in what needs to be put in. Mm. And like I said, it's also what you don't play.
Mm.
Same thing with you. It's nice. It's not a, you know, you're not flurrying with notes, but you don't need to, because it supports what you're doing.
Well,
with
and
the
now when I, there are times when I perform solo without Freebo and I hear his bass part in my mind and I'm like, oh man, like nobody else can hear it. So,
yes.
Well, for me,
the
great records that I love, like say like a Paul Simon record, like Graceland or some of the Beatles records, some of the really wonderful records, they hit you on many levels. They hit you with the lyrics, they hit you with the melody, they hit you with the production, they hit you on an emotional level, they hit you with the musical moments.
Yeah, the hooks.
Hooks. And there's all these different elements. I mean, in the folk world, we're at, sometimes it's so much about the lyrics. And I do one of my workshops, which is called What About the Music? Here's the same old three, same old three chords, and great lyrics, but man, the music is boring. And so that's what I love about what Alice even brings to me when we co-write. It starts with a beautiful melody and beautiful lyrics. Now you have something to work with.
Yeah. No, if you, that's the thing. If you have that, you're there. The rest of it just makes it better. But it's there. It's solid at the beginning. You know. Anyway, we're out of time. I told you we'd go by fast.
Flies by.
And you know, but everybody, the album is called Visions, and it's out Friday.
It's out Friday the 17th. Everywhere, you know, online, and you can also find it on my website, alicehowe.com. And then we have our show the following night at McCabe's.
Right. And we should also mention Chad Watson is part of this too.
Yes, yeah. Chad, the show.
Chad's the other bass player.
That's when Freebo whips out his guitar that's down there on the floor.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So. And alicehowe.com and freebomusic.com are the places to check out what's going on.
Oh, and I wanted to mention also, you can actually hear Twilight just premiered on AmericanBluesScene.com today.
Oh, very cool.
So if people want to hear the full version, you can actually check it out on American Blues
Scene. That's where the interview was, right?
There's an article. There's a review of the album as well. Yeah, but you can hear the whole track on
beautiful
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alice has arrived.
Yes, I got it. We only have a few minutes, so I want to get to anything else you want to mention.
Oh, well, we're all part of the upcoming Cal Saga 2, California Saga 2 for homelessness. It's going to be an all-star event. Mark your calendars, LA, July 3rd at the theater at the Ace Hotel. I'll give Jeff a poster to put up on his pages. We've got David Crosby and Al Jardine and members of the immediate family, Danny Korchmar, Waddy Wachtel, Leland Sklar, Steve Postel. Also, Jess Colin Young, Albert Lee. It's an all-star event. We're going to raise a lot of money and help the homeless in Los Angeles and have a great time doing it.
Yeah.
These guys are with me, too.
And thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
And
yeah,
I look forward to having you back on. Are you,
yes.
I want to hear more.
Thank you.
So this song you're going to do is
Still on My Mind. Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes.
And I'm just going to take, after that, we're just going to go fade out from after. Just, you're taking us out. Everybody have a great week. We will see you next week. Thank you, Lori. It's good
Thank
to
you.
See you back.
Great show.
Don't be a stranger so
no,
long.
I won't.
Come back. Okay, you guys.
Rain falling across the water, mist is rising on the mountainside. Leaves are blooming in the ash tree. Robins are looking for something sweet. Where I'm sitting beneath the eaves, and not one drop will find me. A little seedling is breaking through, persistent as the thought of you. Looking out into a sea, thinking on the years and miles that lie between. It seems so long ago, but you're still on my mind, you know. Trees, the water dances over stones. The April morning is clean and new, but a breeze has brought the thought of you. Looking out into a sea of green, thinking on the years and still I sat down by the riverside, fearing I could drink it dry and still not be satisfied, this rain, and if they'll overflow, I can't say. The crickets calling in the firelight.